From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Most manifestly, the confidence which the psalmist here expressed was a divine confidence. He did not say, I have grace enough to perfect that which concerneth me. My faith is so steady that it will not stagger. My love is so warm that it will never grow cold. My resolution is so firm that nothing can move it. No, his dependence was on the Lord alone. If we indulge in any confidence which is not grounded on the rock of ages, our confidence is worse than a dream. It will fall upon us and cover us with its ruins to our sorrow and confusion. All that nature spins, time will unravel to the eternal confusion of all who are clothed therein. The psalmist was wise. He rested upon nothing short of the Lord's work. It is the Lord who has begun the good work within us. It is He who has carried it on. And if He does not finish it, it will never be complete. If there be one stitch in the celestial garment of our righteousness which we are to insert ourselves, then we are lost. But this is our confidence. The Lord who began will perfect. He has done it all, must do it all, and will do it all. Our confidence must not be in what we have done, nor in what we have resolved to do, but entirely in what the Lord will do. Unbelief insinuates, you will never be able to stand. Look at the evil of your heart. You can never conquer sin. Remember the sinful pleasures and temptations of the world that beset you. You will be certainly allured by them and led astray. Ah, yes, we should indeed perish if left to our own strength. If we had alone to navigate our frail vessels over so rough a sea, we might well give up the voyage in despair. But thanks be to God, He will perfect that which concerneth us and bring us to the desired haven. We can never be too confident when we confide in Him alone, and never too much concern to have such a trust.
I'm
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, he brings another portion of a message entitled God's Sovereign Purpose. The text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, where the Apostle Paul sets forth what Dr. Cairns describes as the five pillars of Christian knowledge. These are God's eternal election, His loving predestination of a people to be conformed to Christ, His effectual calling of those people, His justification of them through the atoning work of Christ, and their ultimate glorification. Here is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. Today, Dr. Cairns explains what the Bible means by God's eternal election, which Paul described in Ephesians 1 verse 4 as God having chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called God's Sovereign Purpose.
The New Testament is not a different book from the Old Testament. It is the continuation, the fulfillment. Augustine used to say that the new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. That's the connection between them. And so, you'll not be surprised when this word foreknow has a Hebrew root. And when you go back into the Old Testament, the word know has a range of meaning. When Adam knew his wife, it wasn't just, good morning, Eve. I have some awareness of you. It was the knowledge of the marriage union. It was the knowledge of married love. And throughout the Old Testament, God uses this word with regard to his knowing people with the knowledge of a predetermining love. For example, when he said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And he goes on to say, "I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The knowledge, therefore, is a knowledge that selected Jeremiah, that set God's love upon Jeremiah. And this is the force of the word when we come here to Romans chapter 8. If you turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 2, we have the statement, "God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew." God is faithful to the people whom he foreknew. What is this foreknowledge? Acts chapter 2 verse 23 gives you really the nearest thing to a formal definition of it in the New Testament. There's a construction there, the original language that's in play, and you've got to understand it in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. I wasn't going to take time to turn this up, but since many of you may not have noted it in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to note it and keep it before you when you're talking about this foreknowledge of God. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You could spend all night commenting in that text. You will notice immediately that the eternal purpose of God does not take away the responsibility of men for what they do. The death of Jesus Christ was according to divine foreknowledge and divine foreordination, and yet he said it was by your wicked hands. In other words, you're responsible for what you did. People who make the purpose of God that they don't know the excuse for their sin that they do know are in very dangerous ground. But that's by the way. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Put those together, that's one term. The word "and" has the force of "even." It's an explanation of what goes before. If you wanted to put it in graphic terms, fore or predetermined counsel equals the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God equals the predetermined counsel of God. Now that's the Holy Ghost meaning of the word. So when we come to foreknowledge here, whom he did foreknow, we can say this is election. This is the foreordination of God's people in love. This is God setting his distinguishing love upon his people. Why did he do that? It's always a big question. When he addressed this question with the Jews back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, it comes down to this. You ask, why did I love you? I loved you because I loved you. That's it. You needn't look for any other cause. You look in vain for anything in you that caused God to love you. You look forever and you'll never find it if you're looking for anything that would have stirred the love of God. Look at what you were by nature. A mass of corruption from head to toe. Vile and full of sin. As wicked a rebel as the devil himself, as fit fuel for the dark, outer darkness of hell and its fire forevermore, as the worst of the demons. Totally depraved, totally corrupt, totally rebellious, totally wicked. Nothing there for a holy God to be stirred to love other than what's in his own being. He loved because he loved. I thank God for sovereign love. If I was going to wait until God would find something in me worth loving, I'd be in hell forever. Sovereign love, foreordaining love. Now I see what comfort and assurance that brings, what peace it brings to the believer, because now we can say there's no condemnation. Why? Because God loved me before the world began. God loved me before creation was any more than a thought in his mind. God loved me and loves me eternally. That which he has commenced in eternity will not be derailed by the events of time. I have loved you, says the Lord, with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, though I am in a world that perplexes, I'm facing circumstances in my body, in my home, in my family, in my job, I'm facing circumstances in the nation that perplex. I don't understand, yet I know he understands. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I know it because of God's eternal covenant love. First divine act. Whom he did foreknow. Second divine act, them he predestinated. Now, obviously, there's a very close connection between election and predestination. And yet, there's a distinction. If you want to have a divine description or definition of predestination, you should turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 28. Where, again, the Apostle Peter is talking to the Jews, or he's actually talking about the Jews. He's in prayer. And he's saying that they did whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And the words determined before to be done literally would be translated predestined to happen. Predestined. Come to pass. That's it. What is this predestination? It is God's counsel. That's counsel. God's counsel. God's will determining before what will be done. Now, some people immediately say, is that not fate? No. I mean, stop and think. And in Ireland, we would say, have a tit or a wit. If you don't understand what that means, then you have a whole lot of learning to do when you get to heaven. Have a wit, man. Fate is a blind, impersonal force. Of course, it doesn't exist. But in other religions and philosophies, it is a blind, impersonal force. This is the will and the purpose of the all-wise, all-holy, all-just, and all-good Heavenly Father. World of difference. Here is the sovereign wisdom of God. The sovereign will of God. Determining before what will be done. Now, he says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So now he's predestinating these people. What's he predestinating about them? Well, the text tells you he's fixing our destiny in advance. What is that destiny? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the destiny of everybody whom God has loved with an eternal covenant love. To be conformed to the image of his Son. And that, my friend, is the definition of sanctification which will be brought to perfection and glorification. Now you can understand more fully the meaning of Romans 8:28. We know that all things are working together for our good. Our good is not necessarily our immediate comfort. Our good is not necessarily that we're going to love the circumstances in which we're placed. Our good is our being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, in many cases, that is a hard process as far as physical suffering is concerned. God deals with his people very differently. I know some people, some of the godliest and most gracious people I've ever known, and theirs has been a pathway of fellowship with Christ in suffering. But remember what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, we all want that, don't we? Lord, let me know the power of the resurrection. But Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There is no resurrection without death. There is no death without suffering. Some of the choicest instruments of God in the history of the church have been people whom he has allowed to be weakened in body. You ever read the list of the sufferings, for example, of a John Calvin? There are some snide historians who like to talk about Calvin. At times he could be acerbic in his manner of speech. He could be sharp in rebuke. I wonder what they would have been. But I read the list of the physical ailments, the intense agonies of body that that dear man suffered every day of his life, and at the same time, by laborious correspondence, was carrying on a correspondence with the churches of Europe, writing by hand to people all over Europe, carrying the work of God, the care of all the churches, on one pair of frail human shoulders, in a body that was going down toward the grave, being sucked down every day by suffering I could not begin to imagine. And then on top of that, the suffering, children dying at childbirth, then a wife dying. Some of God's people are called to go through a very dark period of suffering. God is doing, I have found in so many of those cases, God is taking a vessel and he's sanctifying that vessel. And through the deep suffering, he is showing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our good is to be conformed to the image of his Son. We have bought in too easily to the so-called American dream, that our good is to be able to buy what we want, when we want it, even if we don't need it. Our good is to be able to do what we want, whenever we want, go wherever we want. This is that's what I want, I want, I want. That's supposed to be our good. You raise your children that way, you'll raise a bunch of spoiled brats. And God's not in the business of raising spoiled brats. God's in the business of conforming us to the image of his Son. That's our destiny. But I want you to see this. This is not just a hope. This is a destiny that's fixed. And the beauty of it is this, that it's all for the glory of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When Jesus Christ came into the world, it was for the purpose of bringing many sons to glory. The Lord Jesus came into the world specifically on the mission of bringing an innumerable company out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation unto glory. God's eternal purpose was to ensure a multitude of sons who are taken out of the pit of sin and wickedness and darkness, and conforming them to Christ, bring them to glory forever. With Christ forever standing at their head and throughout all eternity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.